And it's a simple one.
Are you a good listener? How many of you in here would say, in reference to your mate, that they listen to you? It might be interesting if I were to ask the women how well their husbands listened to them. How many of you would come back and say, he doesn't pay a bit of attention to me. I tell him all these things, and then he turns around and tells me I didn't tell him. Any of you? I see a lot. Maybe I ought to ask you to raise your hands on that one, because I see a lot of grands and poking of sides and such like. Fellas, are we that bad? Huh. That's interesting. Now, husbands, let me ask you this, the same question. How many of you think that your wife is always listening when you say something? I don't see as many smiles as I did on that last one. There is a point in all of that. On January the 12th, 1998, we try to keep up with what's going on. There was a television program on 2020 where this husband and wife were talking to 2020. I don't know why anybody wants to go on TV and do a lot of these things. It embarrassed me to death. I never have been able to understand why anybody wanted to go, except for publicity, go on Oprah and Geraldo and all those other places and share before the world some of their stupidities and ignorant ways. But anyway, on this particular, this actually was informative. The husband was a scout in Florida. He evaluated young talent in reference to different sports. And she said, right in his presence, she said, he very seldom listens to me. He is always doing something else, and he shuts me out completely. He's always on the telephone, and he's either watching young ball players on videotape. Some professionals, I watched that, and some professionals came on, and then they said, well, women were not like men. Well, we fellows knew that already, so he didn't tell us anything different there. He said that women were not like men, said that women used both sides of their brain, and that we men folk only used one side of ours. Most women would say we didn't use any of ours, if you listen to them sometimes. And so they tried to prove that by showing that if you were to allow a woman to be in a situation where a conversation starts and then another one starts, she's going to try to listen to both of them at the same time and lose out on both of them. Whereas a man will shut one totally out and then he can just keep his mind on one particular thing. And they showed a woman trying to do that, who was, of course, the one doing the program. And they said that that's the way it was normally, that said that men were not normally that interested in all the details, whereas they wanted to hear everything. Well, and it showed the difference, and then I found out that I was more interested, like most of the women, wanting to know everything, and Cynthia was in the other thing, so I always knew there's something different about her. And I guess what it came down to is what proves too much proves too little. But the whole point is that there was a problem, and it is a serious problem, because if people are not listening, then there's no communications going on. If people are not listening, then the information that the other person is trying to get out is not getting there. And marriages are deteriorating, believe it or not, all over the face of this earth because of a lack of an unwillingness on the part, at least one, of not listening to the other. And it's very impolite. It's very impolite. That's why I guess when I stand up here, and I've been at it long enough, I know when people are not paying attention. I know when people as a whole are not listening, and I find it to be very impolite as I find it impolite when it's on a one-to-one basis. Have you ever been standing talking to someone and you're carrying on this conversation and you know that they're not paying a bit of attention to what you're saying? That they're letting you talk, but they're not caring what direction you're going whatsoever. In fact, if they'd be truthful, they'd basically say, "Will you shut up? I'm not paying attention." This woman added, and I think this is the crust of all of it in reference to that show at least, that because her husband was not listening to her, that she felt unloved. Because if he loved her the way that he should, then she would be paying attention. In fact, it was interesting that as they showed this, that she was saying something, he was actually sitting in the other room. You could see them, and she was talking about him, and he wasn't paying a bit of attention. And she said to the interviewer, "See?" And he came back, and the people were asking, "Well, why?" And he says, "Well, she's an irritant sometimes. And I just hear buzzes back there. I've got something else on my mind." But let me tell you, folks, let me tell you something with all seriousness. That in reference to relationships, there is one person that you need to be listening to and listening to every day of your life. And that is the one who has honored you the most. You may have all the degrees you want, but the one who has honored you the most is the one who has said, "I'll put up with you for the rest of my life. I'll be there for you. I'll love you when you're sick. I'll love you when you're mean. I'll love you when you're glad. I'll love you when you're sad. I'll help you with your children or our children. I'll help you in whatever way I can." If we're not listening to our mate, it also may show a deeper problem, and that is we're not listening to God either. For it is God that's called upon us to listen. In fact, we find that there are those in Scripture that are beckoned to listen. One of the things that you read about in Revelation time and time again is John, or Christ through John, wrote these messages or gave these messages to the seven churches of Asia. He kept saying, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the will of the Lord is." All of us have ears. As far as I know, every one of us in here has the ability to hear, to listen. It may be that as we get older, we do not hear as we once should, but it's always interesting. When my father was getting older, he said, "I can't hear as good as I used to," but he always heard those things I didn't want him to hear. You know? Sometimes we hear exactly what we want to hear. And the thing that we need to hear, of course, is God himself and what God has to say. In James chapter 1, turn there if you would, where James is speaking there in the book, entirety of the book, of practical Christian living. One of the things that he says to brethren, he said, "So then, my beloved brethren," again, James 1:19, "So then, my beloved brethren, let us, or every man, be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath." I think one of the things that we have learned to do, and I don't know why we have turned it around, the thing that we sometimes are quick to do is that we're quick to speak, we're quick to show our anger, and because we are speaking so and filled with anger so, then we're not hearing what someone else might be saying. And then verse 22, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." It's not uncommon for somebody to come up and say, "David, don't you get tired of speaking to us, and in some cases we don't ever do any better?" What do you think? Be it any speaker in any given area, be it at work, you have the same problems at work as you have in religion, and that is oftentimes people are hearing, but it's going nowhere. God in particular wants us not only to hear what he would have us to hear, to understand what his will is, in Ephesians 3, but to do it, not just to hear it, but to do it. And I don't know if we can really totally say that we have heard it as it has been delivered if we don't do something with it. If somebody said, I heard that. Well, what are you going to do with it? Because I'm convinced that man who really hears then allows it to do something, and then he does, there is a reaction to it rather than one of indifference. Look at Matthew 13 in verse 14, where Jesus was speaking to the Jews at that time, and he used a passage that they would have been familiar with because it is actually from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. But again, Matthew chapter 13 is where I want you to look. And I want us to ask ourselves the question as we think about this, where Jesus said in reference to this, and again he's attributing it to them during his time as well, he said, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn. And that's the idea of repentance. It's not that they were incapable of seeing. It was not that they were incapable of hearing. It's that they were unwilling to open their eyes and open their ears and their heart. And he says, so that I should heal them. A lot of times, young and old alike turn out lessons that they will hear from the pulpit, or lessons that they will hear from Bible classes, or lessons that they hear from parents or from other individuals because they don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that anymore, we say. Just because we say I don't want to hear it doesn't mean that we shouldn't have heard it and that we shouldn't have heeded it. Again, the baseball scout in Florida said he heard a buzz when his wife spoke most of the time. But what he had done is turned her off, and she had simply become nothing but background. A lot of times I'll turn on, not often, because it gets into my head and I don't like. A lot of times I'll turn off the radio or turn the radio on just for some noise in the background, but eventually it'll get through. It's a shame sometimes that's the way we would treat our mate, that eventually she'll get through, but it's going to have to reach the point of irritation, though, before we let her, or in some cases, let him in. In Matthew 18 and 16, but if he will not hear thee, take with you two or three more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Hearing gets down to even how we relate one to the other. And but hearing also comes with hearing comes speaking, and we must be careful how we speak, because Ephesians 4:29, I'll give you a chance to turn there. I think it's important that you see that. In Ephesians 4 and verse 29, where Paul said to those brethren at Ephesus, those are our brothers and sisters, those who have lived before us, he said, let no corrupt communications proceed or work proceed out of your mouth, or word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. And that's the way we should always speak, so that when we have something to say, that it's going to be edifying to the other person. What we say all the time might not necessarily be edifying, so it's possible for us to speak too much and have nothing to say. And so sometimes we can spend so much time feeding out unnecessary information that people immediately cut us off because that's what they think of our communication, that it's unnecessary gibberish. And we should never, though, really reach that in reference to our mate. And children and parents, or anyone actually, whenever we speak, we should want it to be of a means of edifying or building up the person that hears. Paul said, and I'm just going to note these in Acts 13 and 16, he called upon the brethren there to listen. And James even said, listen to me at that Jerusalem conference. Listen to me. And then he proceeded to tell them what he wanted them to hear. Now, there are some responses to hearing or listening. You could actually look at Israel and just look at their history and see how, and I'll let you choose your own passages and going to those in reference to Israel, because time and time again, God would speak to them and they would not listen. And every time that they would not listen, he would allow someone to come in and take them over. And then all of a sudden they decided, well, maybe we better listen. And then so they would cry out to God, and they expected God to hear. And isn't that the way it always is, it seems, with most of us? That we may not listen to anyone else, but when it comes time for us to speak, we expect everybody to hear everything that we say and to treat it as if it is the greatest information that has ever come from the heart or the lips of man. And it's unfair thinking that way. That what you have to say is always the best, and what everybody else has to say, well, it's just mere gibberish, that it's really not important at all. You have some people who listen and they retreat. In John chapter 6 and verse 60 through 66, you have the information there is given about a multitude of people who had been fed by the Lord, and then the Lord begins to tell them the cost of discipleship, and they hear him. And he tells them what it's going to cost them, and they all turn away, never to follow him again. And the Lord turns to the disciples and said, basically, you've heard what I've said. Will you go away also? And Peter then spoke, to whom shall we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So it's possible that when we say something, that people will retreat, that people will go away. It's possible sometimes for people to hear information that is given from the pulpit here, and they get upset with it, and it may be truth that they heard, but yet they turn it off and they go away because it's going to cost them too much, and they don't want that. Then you have those who resist. I guess one of the best examples of resisting truth is found, excuse me, in Acts chapter 7. Let's turn there and look at that. Quickly. In Acts chapter 7, you have Stephen speaking to the Jewish people of his day, to that multitude that has gathered, to those people that claim to be religious in nature. And he said, beginning with verse 51 of Acts 7, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. You have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut in their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at their right hand and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand. And they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him one accord, and they killed him. Stephen was killed because those who were hearing the information resisted it. They did not want it, as their fathers before them did not want it, neither did they want it. There is a response to every time someone else speaks. You respond either in the right way or in the wrong way, but you do respond to everything that someone says to you. And you either retreat, you resist it, or it's possible, as Acts 13 and verse 48 says, now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. When they heard that the Gentiles also were going to be able to receive eternal life, they rejoiced. There are some messages that you and I receive that we rejoice over. Some things our wife or husband says to us, we say, fantastic. You go and file your income tax, that horrible thing that all has to do this time of the year. And you come in and you say to the wife, you say, honey, we're not going to have to pay anything this year. She smiles and said, let's go get a Coke, because that's probably about all you got left to go get it with. But that's good news. But if we're going to hear, we must give attention. We must be attentive. Not like the baseball scout who admitted that he was not a good listener. And I I find his job somewhat strange because he was having to listen to a whole lot in reference to these youngsters. But he was choosy in his listening. But he admitted he did not listen to his wife. We must be attentive. We must be willing. We must be willing to listen to a person, whoever and everybody at one time or the other has something good to say. And that might be the very time that you miss out on the best thing that they're ever going to say. Listen. Listen with the thought in reference to the Word of God, of believing it. In Romans chapter 10, and there verse 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Preachers of the gospel should not be tolerated. In the sense that I'm using it. Sometimes we just tolerate him. We just, you know, that's his job. He don't got to. Any man could stand before you and speak all types of things and give you information that has no bearing whatsoever to your eternal soul and actually harm you. We should not tolerate preachers. It says in the text that they have beautiful feet. I don't think that they're actually saying the preacher has pretty feet. I think he's simply saying that he is a messenger of God and that he's speaking for God, and how beautiful are those who are willing to do just that in the service of the King. But let's be willing to believe that which is taught. Let's have a little conviction. If there's anything I see a lack of today, it is a lack of conviction. It's hard in some ways to get people to make a stand in a lot of areas. And that's true. Sometimes that's even true in the home life, where the husband and wife will not make a stand, that they will not in conviction say, I intend that you listen to me. I want you to hear what I've got to say. It is important. And young people, those of you who are younger in years, you haven't been married long, pay attention and listen to me. If you are not now listening to your mate, your marriage won't be worth anything in just a few years. If you've already started not listening, if you'd rather listen to the TV or rather listen to someone else, you've got trouble. And you need to deal with it right now, before it becomes a big, big, big problem and divorce becomes the end of it. Many divorce happens not because the other individual went out with somebody else, but because they stopped communicating. They stopped listening to each other. I know. I've dealt with enough of it. But then we have to be careful how we hear. And that's why we need to be discriminating when we are listening. We need to be able to understand God's will. We need to be able to sift out the important things from the worldly things. Get the good things out of whatever is being said, and handle that which is good properly. And there is a proper response. Let's say this, and there is a proper response, and I'll show you some examples of that, and then the lesson will be both mine and yours. You see, I'm not saying that I always listen as I should, and sometimes even maybe to some of you. I don't mean to be disrespectful to you or condescending to you or anything like that. And it may be that something else is on my mind or somebody else's problem is on my mind. You may have to tap me once or twice and say, I'm the one that you need to talk to just for a minute. When Nathan came before David and told him of his sin, and when he was told that he was the man, David said, I have sinned against the Lord. He listened. When Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, in Jonah chapter 2 and there verse 5, Jonah prayed from the belly of the great fish. You could hear his penitence in his prayer. And don't you know that he sure wanted God to hear him? He sure wanted God to hear him. As he prays and he talks about all the filth of that fish surrounding him in very vivid detail, as he speaks to God about his penitent way. Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, those people there, when they heard the message concerning Jesus Christ, him crucified, it said they were pricked in their hearts. They were pricked in their hearts by the message. It means that they heard. It's interesting, we have our little children come down on the front pew on the first Sunday. And we have them sing, it's a beautiful little song, "Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you speak, what you say. For the Father up above." And we like to hear our children sing that. And rightly so. But you and I as well need to be careful. And we need to be willing to listen. And after we have heard, then to make the proper response to that which we have heard. I would suggest, as I've said, if you are not listening to your mate, I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you've been married 50 years or one day. Listen to that one. I might even encourage you to listen to those that you're dating and listen closely, because they may be telling you things that shows who they really are. And if you'll listen, you'll see who they are. So young girls and boys, those of you who in just a few years, if you reach 32 at the right time, your mom and dad may let you start dating. Listen to that boy. Listen to that girl in what they're saying when they want to date you. For it will give you normally a clear indication of what they really are on the inside. I might hasten. Parents, let's listen to our children. Believe it or not, our children have a lot of interesting things to say. We've sent them to school to learn, and believe it or not, we send them to Bible study to learn, and believe it or not, there are a lot of good things that our young people say that you and I can learn from. But above all, listen and understand the will of God. As Ephesians 5:17 says, "Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." It is God's message to the family that you and I must be willing to listen to. One other passage. Matthew 7, and then the lesson will be again ours. But I do think that we do need this one in closing, because it deals with a subject very vividly about, excuse me, about listening. "Not everyone who says to me," Matthew 7:21, "not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonderful wonders in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears," listen, "therefore, whoever hears a saying of mine and does them, I will like him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Everyone who hears the sayings of mine and does not," are we listening to this, "and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when the people had ended, and so it was when Jesus has ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his sayings or teachings. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." listening. There's a song we sing. Sometimes it says, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name, for my name. There's going to come a day when you're going to be very attentive, for you'll be listening to the roll call of God as he calls out and calls forth the righteous. And that's one time, my brothers and sisters, that's one time that we'll be listening very closely. So, are you a listener? If not, become one. For your family's sake, but above all, for your own soul's sake. Try it. What was it one fellow said? He said that he got a new hearing aid and didn't tell anybody. And he changed his will 3 times. So if you start listening, it may surprise you what you hear, and it may surprise you in what you need to reply to what someone is saying. If you're here tonight and not a child of God, you need to listen. You need to listen. Jesus Christ died so that you might be saved. Will you not tonight repent of your sins? Confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God. Be buried with him, having your sins washed away by the blood that flowed on Calvary. As a child of God, if you have, for whatever reason, and that happens occasionally, for whatever reason, you have stopped listening to God, stopped listening to the Lord, stopped listening to the Spirit through the Word of God, then you need to start listening again and putting the proper emphasis upon understanding what the will of the Lord is. Think of that while we stand and as we sing.
Tonight. Well, then why not tonight?
Please be seated. The Lord's table has been left prepared for those that were unable to partake of it this morning. If you would like to partake of it tonight, please raise your hand after the prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this bread that represents the sacrifice that your Son, Jesus Christ, made on our behalf. We pray that those who partake of it will think back to the great sacrifice and his death, and will partake of this in a manner well-pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please identify yourself again after prayer. Our Heavenly Father, come for you at this time, thanking you for the wonderful sacrifice your Son gave on the cross of Calvary. Please bless this cup, which to us as Christians represents Christ's shed blood. May each one that partakes do so in a manner that is well-pleasing in your sight. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest is high. Hide me, Thou of life.
Will you please pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to talk to you at this time and that you will listen and hear us. Please help us to be good listeners just like you. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time that we've had to worship you in song and study another portion of your word. And please help us to make application of it in our lives. Dear Lord, please help those that are sin afflicted, those that were mentioned. Let them make full recovery if possible. Please be with those that are traveling. Help them to get back safely and be with us until we meet again. In Christ the Lord's name, amen.